Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
All right, good morning again. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and I am so happy to be a part of the church where we're seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're with us online, and there are many of you, or whether you're here in the sanctuary, we're glad that you're here and you've come on a really great day because Pastor Lindsay is going to be bringing a message about science and history and the Bible. So that will be interesting. And we have three more people joining the church this week. So that will be great also. Our worship leaders today are Bob Hemphill and Bruce Stark. And our musical praise is coming from our women's chorus only, and our accompanist, Bill Kinney, because Susan is on vacation. So we're glad you're here, Bill. Thank you. Now, please fill out those connection cards that are inside of your bulletin. Turn them over and find some things that interest you, because every month they change. Look for things that look like something you'd like to be a part of and sign up. And if there's something going on in your life, something that you need us to pray with you, please find one of those prayer request cards, fill it out, put the connection card and the prayer request card right into the offering plate. If you're a visitor with us, we're glad that you're here. We have for you a really special gift. You can stop at our Welcome Center during coffee hour time. It includes a couple of things that are handmade by our congregation. I do want to let you know, because we're at the start of spring break, there is nursery during this service, but there's not Sunday school today. So kids are staying in here with us, and we're glad that you're here. I do have a few announcements. In this season of Lent, wouldn't it be nice to have a time of peace, a time where you could sit with God in the quiet and just rest? Well, the United Methodist Women in Faith want to make that possible for you here in our sanctuary. So they're calling it the Sounds of Silence. I like that. It will be this Friday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. They have reserved the sanctuary to keep it as a peaceful space. You can come whenever you wish in that time. You can stay as short or long a time as you want. The only thing that they're asking is that all of us who are in that space, that we all respect silence so that people can sit and listen for God's voice deep in their hearts. You don't have to sign up, just come. Next, if you're looking for a way to help hungry people, sign up to help prepare and distribute food baskets for a week before Easter at our Whitmore Lake campus. There are ways that you can help prepare the baskets on Wednesday morning, Thursday evening, and then on Friday we need people to make phone calls to the recipients so that you can arrange for them to get the food. And so, if you would like to help, please reach out to Pastor John and he'll help coordinate that for you. But we hope you can. And I want to especially urge some of our new families who have been telling me, well, you know, I really want to do some this is a simple, easy, one-day way to make a big difference for hungry people down in the Whitmore Lake area. Next, on Saturday, April 12th, we're having our annual Easter egg hunt. All right, and now see if you've been listening for the last few weeks. How many Easter eggs are we filling? You got it. You got it. So there's 2,000 Easter eggs that we have to fill. You can sign up your family. You can invite your neighbors, friends, anybody you can think of. But do sign up. It's free. We do need still some people to donate wrapped store-bought candy by next Sunday, so then we can start stuffing those eggs. And then finally, next Saturday, plan to head over to the Whitmore Lake campus for a delicious spaghetti dinner. It starts at 5 o'clock, lasts for 2 hours. The money that they raise from this dinner is going to support Habitat for Humanity. They're going to have gluten-free and vegan options, and if you would like to donate some pasta or something for this effort, they need it by Wednesday. It's good to be in worship, isn't it? I invite you to stand for our opening song. This is My Father's World. It's number 144.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God of all creation, we lift our prayers to you. Thank you for this beautiful world we live in. Thank you for the wonderful people we are surrounded with. We pray that your kingdom will come as we seek to be in your presence and spread your compassion and love. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, it is a great joy to welcome and invite forward our new members who will be joining in membership with us. So I'm looking for Sharon and Matt and Cedric. Oh, there you are. We want to warmly welcome you up here this morning. Last week, church, if you were in worship, you saw some other new members that were joining and becoming a part of our church community. Won't you please just come on, stand right up here and at our Whitmore Lake campus. So I think we We have another joyful celebration today to welcome you into membership this day.
In the last 2 weeks, we will have had 19 people join the church.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit, and all of this is God's gift given to us without price. And then, through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. We acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we reaffirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
And so I present for membership Matt Ingram and fiancé Sharon Bell. They're going to be getting married pretty soon. And Cedric Gibson. Yay!
So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith and now include these persons within your love and care? And your response is on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us all gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. My friends, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Well, Matt and Sharon and Cedric, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by the sharing of your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Okay, church. Well, members of the household of God, I now commend these persons into your love and care. May you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Let's respond. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and of this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, may God establish you and strengthen you and give you faith and courage to live your faith in this world. And we celebrate and we welcome you this day. Let's rejoice. God is good. Amen. Amen.
Welcome officially.
Welcome officially. Church, I would invite you to greet them after worship as you get your cup of coffee. Make sure and help it welcome them and make them feel included and connected here. And make sure you're also wearing name tags. That is so very helpful as we get to know one another and part of the body of Christ. We rejoice and celebrate this day. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you.
We have two scripture readings this morning. The first is from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our second reading is from John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church. This is a two-part carry here. I have a lot to carry up here this morning. I'm going to make two trips to get this all settled here. Bringing some Bibles up here with me, and I'll share with you about this just in a little minute. So I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm Pastor Lindsay. I'm one of the clergy that serves at the congregation, and it is a great joy to welcome you to worship today. It is a great joy to be with you in worship today on this cold, sunny spring day. It is a great joy to welcome you here, whether you're worshiping with us in person or online. We are continuing our sermon series today as we're making sense of the Bible. As we are journeying through the Lenten season and we are studying scripture and we're diving in and we're looking together, and so it's a great joy to continue this sermon series with you. I also look out in the congregation a special welcome to Reverend Luann Rourke. She is our district superintendent for the Heritage District. So Reverend Rourke is right back there waving her arm. It's a great joy to welcome you here to worship this day. Oh, friends, let's begin our time together in prayer. Won't you join me? Oh, good and gracious God, giver of grace and love and mercy, we rejoice this morning that you have woken us up and put breath in our lungs and brought us into a space to worship and to praise. I pray, God, that whatever it is that we are in seeking out this morning, that we might find that. If it is encouragement or community or connection, God, may we meet each other here and in this space. If it is love or forgiveness, may we be reminded of the never-ending love of Jesus. If it is hope, if it is encouragement, Lord, may you speak to us today. Through the prayers we say, through the scripture reading, through the message, through the connection of community, Lord, we know we walk this journey not alone, but you are with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. Oh God, I pray that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, you who call us your beautiful, beloved children of God. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Who enjoys going to the Brighton Library or a library in your community where you live? Yes, I do too. A couple of weeks ago, I took my children to the library on a Saturday morning. It's a busy, busy place on a Saturday morning. I know after school traffic is equally busy for studying, but on a Saturday morning, there are lots of parents taking their toddlers and preschoolers and young elementary kids to get their new books checked out. And so a couple of weeks ago, I took my kids over to the library, and quickly we headed over to say hello, of course, to the fish in the fish tank. Do you know what I'm talking about? They busied around and found, you know, the fun activities there, but we were in search of some new books. My son Joshua, he was needing Harry Potter book number 4 and number 5 for all those Harry Potter book lovers out there. So we quickly found the Harry Potter section and got those checked out. And my daughter was in search of some other things. I think she settled upon some books involving unicorns and other delightful topics that interest her as well. And sitting there in the library and seeing kids read stories and parents read and books being checked out, there was a buzz of community. And it got me thinking about the library, how you can walk around and you can find historical fiction and you can find these autobiographical sections, you can find references. You can walk around the library and get your hands on poetry if you're a poetry lover. You can find all sorts of different genres when you go to the library. There's also a library of things. Did you know that? You can check out a library of things. So if you need to borrow some tools, by all means, you can check them out there. It's fantastic. But the library has all these different genres. All these different genres. So too is Scripture. Did you know when we pick up Scripture, it's like a library filled with all sorts of different genres, all sorts of different scriptures, all sorts of different stories written over about 1,500 years. We find a collection, a library of works right inside. Well, I'm curious what your experience is with Scripture. What is your experience with the Bible? What is your engagement? Are you new to it? Do you have to dust it off a little now and then, and oh yeah, let's open it up and see what's inside? What is your experience with Scripture? I brought with me this morning, I guess my little stand here isn't quite large enough, but I'm going to do my best to speak to these things that I brought. My experience with Scripture is that I got a wonderful third grade Bible from my home congregation, Lincoln, Nebraska. This is my third grade Bible. You all probably remember your third grade Bible experiences if you grew up in the Methodist tradition. And then I brought along, here's my confirmation Bible. Get another one, and we also share a confirmation Bible with our confirmands. We'll be having 5 confirmands confirmed the first Sunday of May. Hope to see you in worship then. There's my confirmation Bible. Apparently I was confirmed in June of 1997. Then I brought along another really important Bible. This was a teenage Bible, and it's earmarked, and it has sticky notes, and it has highlighted sections from my teenage years. Nice, bright neon colors from the 90s. That feels appropriate. Then at one point in time, I received this Bible from my mom. It was a gift, a little pocket Bible. You can flip through. It's kind of come off, some of the leather has kind of come off over time. I brought along my seminary Bible with me. This is the NRSV translation that was used quite frequently in my seminary studies. And then last but not least, a favorite of mine, a Wesley Study Bible. So you can see little snippets of some John Wesley history tucked here and there. We have in our library a collection of different translations of Scripture. So you might like to go back in our library and check out different translations. A number of these are all different translations as well. And I'm wondering, have you ever picked up a Bible and discovered sitting next to somebody else in Bible study, oh, their words are just a little different. There's a variety of translations out there. What is your experience with the Bible? Another of my experiences with Scripture is that after my senior year of high school, my mother was diagnosed with cancer and went through a cancer journey and was in remission and as a cancer survivor, praise God for that. But throughout that summer, between my senior year in high school and my freshman year in college, my memory is I would come down sleeping in as a teenager, trying to sleep until 9 or noon, whatever I would be allowed to do. I'd come downstairs and I'd see my mom sitting in her rocking chair. The scriptures were cracked open and she was making her way through the scriptures, trying to make sense of the Bible. What are the stories inside? And at that point in her faith journey, she was clinging to her faith for hope and making sense of a journey that she was going through. And I remember her modeling daily reading of Scripture and engaging in the stories of Jesus and reading through the Psalms, those beautiful books of poetry. And that was a part of my faith formation, to see that modeled from my mother. But what is your experience with Scripture? How have you come to encounter the living Christ through these words of Scripture? When we start to look through the Scripture lessons and when we start to wonder what on earth is inside of it, we begin to ask all sorts of questions. So what on earth is inside that Bible? Well, if we were to open up the Scriptures, if we were to look at the Old Testament, and I were to say, how many books are in the Old Testament? How might you reply?
Several.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Oh, how many books are in our Old Testament when we start to look in it? Well, it depends upon who you ask. If you look in the Protestant Bibles that we have in our pews, and if you crack that open, if you open it up and you were to count through, you would discover there's 39 books in our Old Testament, in our Protestant Old Testament. Does anybody have a Catholic Bible? Anybody grow up Catholic? If you were to open up the Catholic Old Testament, you'd discover there's 46. If you were to open up the Eastern Orthodox scriptures there, and you were to discover there's 49 or 50 books. It all depends what is inside of the scriptures. It all sort of depends. Is it the Protestant Bible, the Catholic Bible, the Eastern Orthodox? Is it 39? Is it 46? Is it 49 or 50? People have been wrestling with the scriptures for years. What's inside? It all depends upon what made it into that canon, the canonization, that process of Christians go through to discover and discern what is inside of the scriptures. What is inside? Well, when we look at that Old Testament, you could call it also the Hebrew scriptures. When we look at the Old Testament there, We, as Protestants will say there's 39 books there, that the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew scriptures, when our Hebrew brothers and sisters look at that, they'll look at that collection of work and say it's divided into 24 books. It's all the same material there, it's just divided up a little bit differently. And when we're looking inside of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, we find that there's it's a section called the Tanakh, and it's divided into three sections, the Law, or the Torah, the Prophets, the Nevi'im, the Writings, the Ketuvim. All of it is filled with this story of God creating covenant. The Old Testament writers, they were writing and interpreting the history in light of those, of the needs of those around them, and they were telling their story. They were telling the story of the people of Israel. And as we look inside the Old Testament, if you were to ask perhaps a Jewish rabbi, what are the most important parts of the Old Testament, they would probably say the Ten Commandments is very, very important. The Book of the Covenant, the Prophets, as well as the Writings are all very important works. Are you getting curious about what is inside of the Scriptures? When we turn then to the New Testament, as we look at the writings of the New Testament, we find in the New Testament, and I was doing this with our confirmation students, most recently, and I said, when you look open the New Testament, when we first turn to the Gospel of Matthew, we discover that it's a much smaller collection of writings. The Old Testament here, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament here. And when we flip through the Scriptures, we discover that there are four Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we scholars tell us that it was probably Mark's Gospel that was first written down some years after Jesus' ministry and life and death and resurrection. Mark's Gospel was a collection of works that was probably written somewhere around 65 to 70. Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospels were next, probably written probably in the 70s or in the 80s AD, and then John's gospel comes to us a little bit later, probably in the 80s or probably in the 90s. We see the gospel writings there, but we also see a collection of somebody's letters, Paul's letters. We get 13 letters from Paul, and we get a collection of writings from other people, and as we're looking through the scriptures, we can see those gospel stories, hearing of Jesus' life and death and ministry and call to the early church, and then we start reading somebody's, like, email, snail mail. We start reading the stories of Paul writing and others writing to the early church community all around, giving them wisdom and giving them guidance on being faithful disciples and sharing the good news of Jesus. And we see a collection of works, a collection of writings. But what's your experience with the scriptures? Do you find yourself getting curious? Do you find yourself wanting to go deeper? Do you find yourself hungering for more, to learn more? And I hope you do. And so please grab one of our Making Sense of the Bible books, jump into it, into one of our in our groups, raise your hand and say, I'd love to join another disciple Bible study. Because I've often found the best way to begin to make sense of the scripture is just to start reading it. So maybe today you can go home and you can open up the Psalms, those beautiful poems, those beautiful writings, and read through, maybe through this Lenten season, the rest of the Lenten season, you can read your way through the Psalms, the poetry, to hear the lament, to hear the joy, to hear the praise, and to hear the poet's heart. Maybe you'd like to go home and start reading through the Psalms, or open up the Gospels. Maybe you'd like to start with Mark's gospel, that first gospel that then Matthew and Luke took so much of their material from, and start reading the stories of Jesus and begin to discover who is the risen Christ for you and in our midst. Or maybe you'd like to be nosy and read somebody else's letters. Open up Paul. Get going on Galatians. That was the first letter that thought to have been written. Open up Galatians and see what he was writing to that first early church community, those communities in Galatia. What is your story and understanding of Scripture? As we're looking through the Making Sense of the Bible book, we come to a very interesting chapter here. One of the chapters that we were looking at this week has a very interesting question. It's a chapter about making sense of science and the Bible and the creation stories. And Pastor Lynn said I'm preaching on the science and the Bible, so I need to speak to this a little bit as well, as not just an overarching thought around New and Old Testament. But when we come to the scriptures and we hear these stories of creation, we can find these stories in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Have you caught on that there's two different creation stories? Have you caught on that there's one narrative story that talks about God making creation in the 6 days, and on the seventh day, what'd he do? Oh, hallelujah. He rested. God rested. But then we see another creation story where God breathed from the dust and created Adam and Eve in a different sort of way. Sometimes, depending upon what our experience with Scripture has been, we're willing to wrestle more. We're willing to figure out things. But sometimes we feel like we're not allowed to wrestle with Scripture. And I don't know what your experience has been, but I give you permission to ask questions, to wrestle, to want to dig deeper, to try to make some sense and meaning out of all of this. And I think there can be a beautiful connection between science and faith. When I look at these New Testament scriptures, or the Old Testament scriptures of this Genesis 1 and 2, we see a beautiful story, not necessarily a science lesson, but a theology lesson. We see a theology lesson. We see a narrative about God creating the world and God calling it good. We see a story about God creating people and calling us good. So less of a science lesson from a perspective that I come from, but if you hold a different viewpoint, that is good and gracious and wonderful as well. That's what makes us Methodists, is we can see things differently or see things similarly. We can wrestle with Scripture. We can come at it with using our reason, experience, Scripture, and tradition. I'd invite you this week to grab our Making Sense of the Bible book. If you haven't yet already, I would invite you to make a commitment to read maybe through the Psalms or start working your way through the Gospels. Or if you're really curious, start reading about the people of Israel. Start reading about from Genesis and read the story of Genesis. Beautiful story of covenant making and covenant breaking. But the best way for us to start making sense of the Bible is just to jump in and start reading it. So may you be blessed this day and this week as you wrestle with Scripture and come to know and name and claim the beautiful story of the people of faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
thought it was worth the wait. Thank you very much. That was awesome. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to a beautiful prayer quilt we have on the wall. The prayer quilt is going out to Julie Swanson. So on your way out of the church, stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer while you're tying the knot, then sign the card and let Julie know we're praying for her. I was thinking the other day, some of the worship hosts come up here and say, get in your attitude of prayer. Get ready to pray. And I'm thinking, some people really don't know how to pray. I heard a story about a gentleman who was in the hospital. He was near the end of his life, and he was in hospice. And he was talking to his daughter, and he says, I don't know how to pray. And she says, it's simple. Praying is talking to God. He says, really? He says, yeah, here. And she pulled a chair over next to the hospital bed. He says, when you want to pray, pray to the chair and imagine that God or Jesus is sitting in the chair. He said, well, that's easy enough. So this went on for a few weeks. She would go in and see that the chair had been pulled over to the side of the hospital bed. The gentleman passed away. She heard about it in the afternoon. She went into the hospital room where the father was passed away. And there was her dad sitting on the side of the bed with his head on the chair. And I thought that was kind of awesome. He kind of put his head in Jesus' lap when he passed away. Now, how do you get into an attitude of prayer? Whatever you do, it's time. Glorious God of mercy and goodness, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. We pray for our quilt recipient, Julie Swanson, and pray that she has the strength that she needs to get through the tough times she's going through. Let this quilt surround her with the warmth of the quilt, the prayers of the people, and the knowledge of your love. We thank you for the blessing that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We want to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, and all natural disasters, as well as those suffering from man-made disasters such as plane crashes, shootings, and other accidents and events. Relieve the needs of those who endure famine and war. Establish peace in our world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. Guide us as we continue to build and improve our church, creating a warm and welcoming place for worship, learning, and helping those in need in our communities
as well as throughout the world. With your help, we strive to make this a safe and comfortable place for all to be. In times of doubt and fear, the disciples went to Jesus for strength and guidance. Help us remember that Jesus is there for us as well, leading us, guiding us, and helping us to make the right choices for us, as well as the right choices for our friends and neighbors. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises of you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
As we come to our time of offering, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and pass among us. And while they're doing that, I wanted to tell you about what happened here yesterday. Yesterday we celebrated the life of Vicki Dutcher. Vicki was a librarian, but looking at this stack of Bibles reminds me of how very important the scripture was to Vicki. She spent her life deeply, deeply studying scripture and learning to pray. And as she came to the ending of her life, she was still looking for more ways to creatively serve God. So certainly with offerings of money, but more importantly, she offered her creativity. She's the one who a year ago invented and created and ran the puzzle exchange that we did. Do you remember that? She's the person who did that as a way to use her gifts for Christ, and this is our opportunity to do the same.
Stewards of all that you have given us. Help us to use our resources wisely for the good of your kingdom. Accept and bless these offerings we bring today. Amen.
Church, I'm curious what your experience has been with Scripture. I'm curious if you have a favorite Bible story or a passage. I would love to know more. And I would encourage you to share those responses with one another, maybe even in fellowship time this morning. So may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit filling you and enabling you to go forth and live your faith in the world as disciples of Jesus. Go forth in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.